All right, good evening, and welcome everyone to Monday Night Live with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. We thank you for joining us here tonight as we wrap up our topic, Let It Snow, a Pure Celebration of Christ. It's been great so far, and we know that tonight is going to be nothing less than that. So let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. I do welcome everybody on tonight's call, SMB Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. We have some questions that we have from email callers that are very, very interesting this week, as they are all week, every week, but very interesting. So I do encourage you to listen in. Maybe it's a question that you may have. Maybe it's a spinoff of something that you may have. But I guarantee you, it's something that each and every last one of us can learn from. And if by chance you do have a question, please do not hesitate to press star 5 at any time. We'll get to you. I promise you we will. All right. With that being said, we can go ahead and open up with prayer, and then we can get started on the call. Miss Candy.
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, to gather in your name, Lord. And we just want to pray that as the call goes forward, Lord, that every word that is spoken over this line is one that lines up with you, one that is directed by you, and one that helps each and every one of us to grow, Lord. Lord, we pray over the callers tonight, Lord, that they are open to hear your voice, Lord, and that each one of us walks away with a relationship that is strengthened by your word, Lord. Lord, we pray that we are not distracted by anything, Lord, but that we are completely focused in on you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started, y'all. This past week, the call was on Let It Snow, a Pure Celebration of Christ. And it's a great thing that we have the opportunity to even celebrate God. That's a great thing. But when we celebrate God, we know we do it in the proper and correct form, not what is acceptable unto us, but what's acceptable unto him. So as we always do, we're going to go ahead and welcome Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, how are you?
All right. How are you doing, sir?
We're doing great. We're doing great. How was your Christmas, Mr. DJ?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Family and just praising God.
That's a good deal, good deal. Well, Mr. DJ, I'm going to go ahead and let you give us a little weekend review about this past week. The floor is yours.
I can basically sum it up with, I can't recall those 8 points that were spoken about, but in my own way, I will say we need to utilize what God gives us for the right purposes. We need to utilize the talents that he's blessed us with and the things that he gives us. Don't sit on it. You know, you need to reach out. You need to share. And he gives us things for a reason and for the purpose of sharing. His gifts, you will know them because they're unique. They come from him only. And the purpose is directly from him. In other words, if God has blessed you with a new house or a new car, a new job, you need to take that and don't take it as if he's giving that to you for you to just go show off. You need to take that and continue praising him. We need to stop treating him like a spare tire. You know, our life is like a car, and all cars come with a spare tire. That spare tire is Christ. Okay, we don't need to treat him that way. Many of us don't call on Christ until when? Till we catch a flat, till something is wrong. We need to be mindful of how we utilize him. You need to pray it up during the good times and through the times that are rough. You need to call on the Lord every day, you know, not just once he has blessed you. You know, a lot of people talk about prosperity, but what about your prosperity? What are you doing? Once you get those talents, are you reaching out to others, and how are you blessing others? How are you pulling others to Christ with you? That's it.
Thank you, Mr. D. That was excellent. Very excellent. That was a very key point, y'all. And y'all, you know, you have to listen to that now, because this is what we we have been indulged in this past week when we talk about let it snow. And, you know, the challenge is on, you know, make sure we celebrate Christ in the proper context, in the proper way. So, Mr. DJ, we can have a guest with you tonight, y'all. So y'all know how we do this. Now, we pose these email questions that we get from emailers, and then we actually have a couple of callers that have questions as well. So make sure you're one of those callers. And whatever it is that comes to mind, nothing is simple or too small, we'll get to it and we'll answer that. All right? So joining Mr. DJ on tonight, we have Miss Chiron Bove. Is she there, Miss Candy?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
How are you, Miss Chiron?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. We're doing wonderful. So are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's get to it. Y'all know that's the bell for the email questions, and we're going to get started with Miss Chiron, Mr. DJ. We always start with the guest. So Miss Chiron, this is the first email question. Okay. The question says, hold on, back up. Miss Candy, you
yes,
got
sir.
The same email that I got, so go ahead and pose the question, please.
Okay. Question says, can you explain why we shouldn't allow our kids to believe in Santa? Isn't it the same as characters like Mickey Mouse?
Can you explain why we shouldn't teach our kids to believe in Santa?
Why we shouldn't allow our kids... Yes, the question is, can you explain why we shouldn't allow our kids to believe in Santa? Isn't it the same as characters like Mickey Mouse?
Well, it is characters like, you know, Mickey Mouse, because somebody is dressed up in those characters, those costumes. However, when we talk about Santa Claus and having our kids to believe in that, this is something, you know, that I guess is, I know for me it was something from a child that was told, you know, to me that was something much like the Easter Bunny and all of those other things. I mean, I'm sorry, the Tooth Fairy and all of those other things. Those were things that we learned. I mean, Mickey Mouse we saw on TV, and then, of course, when we saw that, it was, you know, just that. But those things, Santa Claus, we saw him as well at least once a year or on TV. But those things are things that are, like, traditional. And we shouldn't teach the kids to do that, because then you have to, much like myself, we have to get over the fact that those things weren't real. And so Santa Claus isn't real, and I don't believe that we should continue to teach our kids. My daughter does not, you know, I didn't teach her that Santa Claus was in existence. And I did that because I didn't want her to have to feel, you know, that void, if you will, that I felt when I learned that Santa Claus wasn't real. Furthermore, he's just not real. It's us that's doing it. So I don't think we need to teach it, because it's just not right.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
Well, oh, excuse me there. We don't need to continue or even compare Santa Claus to Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse didn't go to a cross. Mickey Mouse has nothing to do. Mickey Mouse is year-round, first of all. Fictitious, yes. And the fact that they're even acknowledging that Mickey Mouse is fictitious means that they also acknowledge that Santa Claus is fictitious. So you have to do what thus says the Lord. If it's his birthday, I think he deserves all respect. And we need to tell our kids, this is kind of what got us in trouble, tradition. As Ms. Chiron stated, the letdown is horrible. When you find out otherwise about Santa, then you begin to question all adults and all authority, period. What else is not real? Is the Tooth Fairy real? No. Is the Easter Bunny real? No. Well, God, no. Did Christopher Columbus really discover America? No. Wow. And then also you go to the history books and see what other things are, you know, lies. And that's not cool. I don't think that that's cool at all. It's time out for tradition and get to a word called truth. And I think that we need to get to the roots of the truth. I don't know about you guys, but growing up, I didn't even know that black people was in the Bible. I just, you know, it didn't even dawn on me or click. There were a lot of things, you know, even with the civil rights era, that were conspiracies that were proven to be true. So I don't think that once you know better, you're supposed to do better. And if it continues, it's because we allowed it to. I think it's our duty to tell the truth. You know, and I shared this with a friend earlier. The youngest person in my family said, "Hey, isn't it Jesus' birthday?" I said, "Yes." "Well, how come they don't mention that on TV or on the news? Is anybody saying happy birthday, Jesus?" This little bitty child who's age 4 or 5 drew a big old poster board sized card, hung it by the fireplace next to the tree, said happy birthday, Jesus. And in doing this, she drew a cake and wanted to know, how old is Jesus? How many candles do I need to put on this cake? And that just touched my heart. So I believe that we shouldn't do that, because you need to separate. You can't fictitiously depict the Bible, especially something like that. You get respect. You get presents. You look forward to your birthday. So we need to treat our Lord and Savior better. And I think that would maybe bring us closer. And lastly, a lot of people saying, well, you're going to take the commercial. Yeah, I'm not spending the commercial. There was a game people were walking around that's fictitious called Pokemon. Nobody's talking about it no more.
Uh-huh.
Back in our day, I never heard of Black Friday. Every year they add to the lie. Every year. So why can't we, who know better, add to the truth?
Right.
That's it.
Right. Good deal. Okay, great answer. Great answer. Let's move it along. Here we go. That was good. What you got to say about those, Ms. Kent?
Well, I would just say that the primary reason is that it takes away from what we should be focused on. And as Mr. DJ said, you know, you have to combat with all of the questions of, is everything a lie? And then a lot of the things that traditionally are shared with children, they are lies. But the one with Santa Claus is so important, because it takes the focus away from who God is and gives the credit to someone who's fictitious, when we ought to be teaching children from a young age that all the credit belongs to God.
Okay.
Amen.
Which leads right to the next question. Here we go. I'm going to start with you, Mr. DJ. The emailer said, "To be honest, it seems like Christianity is boring. You can't even celebrate with others by sharing gifts. So why would anyone want to engage in following Christ the way that you guys portray him?"
Well, I wouldn't say it's boring. Actually, it's the complete opposite. Because just because you're following Christianity does not mean everything is going to go according to the way it's supposed to be. When you step up and claim to follow Christ, that's when the devil will challenge you. Or your faith is going to get tested. You need to follow Christ if you care about your immortal soul. If you don't, and you think this is quote-unquote boring, watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens if you don't have Christ. I often say this, people nowadays are taught how to survive rather than how to live. That's very, very, very powerful. You think about that. You know how to survive, but you don't know how to live. Enjoy life. Enjoy the peace, the tranquility. Enjoy the fruits. Enjoy the things, the one who gave us this. You need to know how to enjoy this. If you don't, then what makes you think that you can be, if we can't get along down here, how in the world are we going to get along up there? Or how are we going to get along when we're with him? Me personally, I don't enjoy, if Christianity is boring to you, then again, you know, don't come into Christianity think you're going to just turn up and change it. This is not a club. This is not for everybody. It's at hand. It's available, but nobody's forcing you to come and partake of this. So if you enjoy fire, if you enjoy controversy and drama and things of that nature, then yeah, you need to stay where you are. You know, but if you enjoy something better, and you want something better, not just for you, but for your unborn generations, then come on over to God. If you're tired of going through the same old, the same problems day in and day out, then give them a try. I dare you. Come on over to the other side.
Okay. Good deal, Mr. DJ. Now, I do want to pose this to everybody. If you do have an email question, because somebody just texted me, feel free to text it to me. That's fine. You can go ahead and text. It's a text email question. It's the same. You know, go ahead and text it to me, 504-231-7849. Again, 504-231-7849. Go ahead and send the text, and I'll send it out. I won't put your name on it. I'll just ask the question, all right? Ms. Shiren, I'm going to ask you the same question. It says, to be honest, it seems like Christianity is boring. You can't even celebrate with others by sharing gifts. So why would anyone want to engage in following Christ the way that you guys portray him?
Well, much like Mr. DJ, he just touched on a little bit, and I was going to say as well, when you talk about boring, if you are someone that's, you know, about the life of the party, meaning that, you know, clubbing or keeping up with the latest things that's going on in this world today, then it's, you know, it may seem boring, but actually that's where life begins, in Christ. As far as sharing gifts, we can share gifts. The gifts that we talked about on Friday, I'm sorry, on Wednesday night's call, the love, our time, our obedience, those things that we give, we can give those freely. We can love on one another. That's a gift. That's a great gift that we can share. We can also share in material gifts and giving to others. It's not boring. It's just yielding yourself to God and making that decision that that's where you want to be. And you see that that's where life begins, and you'll find that there's much more than if you're referring to boring as being, you know, like I said again, going out to clubs or the latest parties or keeping up with the things of the world. You'll find that it's much more interesting and much more fun than doing that, because at some point in time, that gets exhausting. And when you don't have anything else to lean on after that gets boring, what else are you going to do? But in Christ, that's not a problem. That's never a problem. So I wouldn't say it's boring.
Good deal. It seems like Christianity is boring. You can't even celebrate with others by sharing gifts. No one said that you couldn't. So why would anyone want to engage in following Christ the way you guys portray him? Romans 8:7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Another reason, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Born is totally subjective. Subjective meaning is based on the individual's perception and views. Shiren can be born to Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ can be born to Shiren. But to Shiren, she's not born, and to Mr. DJ, he's not born. It's totally subjective. Okay? What I mean by that is, the reason why I started with Romans 8:7, since the flesh is hostile, the Bible says, you know, God and the flesh, they have enmity one against each other, enemies. They will be fraternal enemies forever. Hence, the flesh cannot go upward. It returns right back to dirt. To say that Christianity is born is to suggest that you are not in God. And to suggest that you're not in God, it will be hard-pressed to get you to see the value of serving him. See, when you serve someone else, that means it doesn't matter how you feel. It's all about how they feel. Anybody on this phone have a mate? Relationship? Have you ever been in a relationship? Have y'all?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Watch what I'm about to tell y'all, and y'all can tell me if it's true or not, Mr. DJ, Ms. Shine. Even on social media, we just talked about that last week. All you see is things like this. I'm talking about 98% of the time. You know, if you treat her right, she'll treat you this way. A real man would do this for her. So what does that suggest? It is all about serving who?
Them.
As all about serving her, huh?
Yes, sir.
You rarely, ever rarely do you see any post, any suggestions about a woman serving a man. Am I lying?
It's true.
So to her, it would never be born served. But perhaps for the individual who only sees herself, wouldn't it be boring to serve Mr. DJ?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so boring that she'd say he out of his mind if he think I'm going to serve him. Y'all catch where I'm going with this? Answer the question. When you're serving yourself, of course you're going to say serving God is boring. Because you want God to serve you. But selfish individuals, anybody ever being selfish? I know you ain't selfish right now, but just think about last year or the year before or when you was back in the day. When you were selfish, was it ever born to be served?
No.
Never.
Mm-mm.
It's never. Okay? So, it seems like it's Christianity is boring. No, it's not boring when you're serving someone. See, when you love someone, you don't mind putting yourself to the side.
Amen.
Right.
It's boring because the love is not real. You only need him, as Mr. DJ says, as a spare tire. That's when serving God is no longer boring, because now you need him to do something that you and nobody else around you can do.
That's right.
Because I've never heard somebody say it's boring to serve God when they need God to, you know, I need y'all to pray for my situation. You know, they don't be wanting to tell you what the situation is, but yet they want you to pray. Okay. You know, my grandmama, my granddaddy. Huh? See, the doctors couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So they need somebody else to pray, because they really don't have the relationship that they should have. Now all of a sudden Christ is no longer born. He's real now.
Mm.
Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
So you can even answer that question by saying the flesh versus the Savior. That's it. God is never born to those who love him and don't mind serving him and putting themselves to the side. God becomes boring. See, this is a chin check for a lot of us. God becomes boring when we put our agenda ahead of his.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that's true, right? And y'all, you don't have to say God is boring. The lifestyle indicates he's boring. What I mean by that, this is the reason we don't study our Bible, because the Bible is boring and we don't know what to go to. So we just hocus pocus flip the page. Look at that. God told me 4:59. Look at the scripture. Let me close my eyes and put my, bam, Isaiah 31 and 2. And that's what you start reading, as if God put you there.
Hmm.
So you got to do a little game to make the Bible non-boring. Wow. Huh? Well, that's just like going grocery shopping and just spin yourself around and say, "Whoop! I landed on a mic. Ah, I guess I needed some." Huh?
And Mr. Carr, also, God is a God of order. He doesn't make mistakes. And education is considered godly. And if you don't value education, you think reading and going to school is boring, then imagine what you're going to think about church, because you have to study the Bible. You have to actually read it, like knowing what you're saying, comprehension, same things that they talk about in school. It goes hand in hand. It says study to show thyself approved. So if you don't consider that, if you can't consider learning to be something good, positive, we don't encourage each other, let alone our kids, to read. We won't to tell them stuff or put them in front of a computer screen or let somebody else do, versus us taking time to sit down and teach and say, hey, no, this is what needs to happen. So if you don't think that's everything is not a party, but I'm just saying, if you think that's boring, then again, yeah, Christianity is not you.
And Mr. DJ, watch this. Ms. Sharon, I know you was about to get in on it, but Ms. Sharon, check this out. Tell Mr. DJ this. Help him out with this one. Just to, y'all, you know, you be piggybacking. Now we're doing this together as a team unity. Watch this, Mr. DJ. the fact of the matter is what you just said is absolutely correct. And on top of that, y'all know when we was in grade school, we had certain curriculums that we loved. Some people hated math. Some people hated science. Some people hated geography and biography and social studies. It's just different things. So the things that you didn't think that was relevant was boring to you. You would fall asleep in those classes, wouldn't you?
Right. That's right.
Right.
Watch this, Ms. Shira. I'm going to speak for you because I know this is where you was going. If it's boring, that means you, God is not relevant in your life. Christianity, that curriculum, is not relevant for you right now. Because anything that you enjoy is never boring when you went to school.
Right.
True that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It wasn't that it's too hard. Do you not understand that God is not hard? It's not hard. See, the thing is, it's hard because we have yet to break down our flesh nature. God would not make it complicated to understand him. If we don't understand God, that's because you got your own agenda in the way and you can't see beyond it.
Mm.
Why would God deprive us of knowledge? He said, in all you're getting, get an understanding, but you must first be pure. And before you get the understanding, why would God reveal to you what needs to be revealed so that you can run with his knowledge and take it back to the world just to do your own agenda? You got to be crazy.
That's right.
Don't work like that. God can better than your mom and your daddy. You know, you can get over on mom and daddy, and you can be smiling and kikiing and doing everything that you need to do with mom and daddy. But see, God becomes boring because, see, God will make you reveal your true hand, not to him, but to yourself.
That's right.
Because you was praying to get what you wanted, and then you departed from him. Uh-huh. But God will make you reveal your true hand. That's why it's born, because, see, it's never born when you just want him. Never. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on forward. Ms. Sharon, are you ready for the next email question?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. The next email question. And this is, I'm going to start with Ms. Sharon, Mr. DJ. Then I'm going to come straight to you. All right? It says, as a Christian, not only celebrate Christ on Christmas Day, but I also in every day that he blesses me to see. How can I help my husband to get beyond conforming to the world's tradition of making the kids think that there is a Santa Claus and reindeer, and instead teach them about the birth of Christ and the true meaning of Christmas?
Well, I would say to continue to live in the way that you're living, continue to pray, continue to, have conversations with your husband. First and foremost, have a conversation with your husband and see why it is that he feels it's necessary to continue to teach the kids about Santa Claus and about reindeer, because even in that conversation, you can things can be revealed, and in that way you can get to the root of the issue of why he wants to continue to do that. And in doing that, in the knowledge that you have, you can share with him on why it's important to not teach them about Santa Claus and the reindeers, and more about the birth of Jesus Christ and the reasons for the season. But continue to live as you are, continue to pray, continue to have faith, and the main thing here would just be to get to the root, to see if it's something that's traditionally based, and see how to go about, you know, asking God, seeking God for resolving that in your household so that you all can come together and to be on one accord with everything as it relates to Christ.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to repeat the question right quick. It says, as a Christian, I not only celebrate Christ on Christmas Day, but I also, in every day that he blesses me to see, how can I help my husband to get beyond conforming to the world's tradition of making the kids think that there's a Santa Claus and reindeer, and instead teach them about the birth of Christ and the true meaning of Christmas?
First of all, your husband didn't get that way by himself, if that's your husband. You're supposed to have the same world views and be equally yoked before you become man and wife. So apparently you we're celebrating in the traditions as well. Again, once you know better, you do better. Exposure, education, knowledge. Sit down with your husband. And I thoroughly believe that if you explore that whole birth of Jesus story thoroughly, see, part of the problem is they only talk about it once a year. There's no law that says you only have to talk about the birth of Christ in between December 18th and December 26th. There's no law that says you can't preach that sermon or talk about the birth of Christ in January. See, we're as Christians, we kind of spoiled and like themed sermons as well. You know, each holiday is not going to be a quote-unquote themed sermon. There's no Valentine's sermon. There certainly isn't an April Fool's or 4th of July sermon. So what I'm saying is thoroughly sit down with your husband first and then get with the kids and explore that story leading up to the birth of Christ as well as the birth of Christ. When you're exposed to his true meaning, you're going to feel a little embarrassed once you know better. You don't say, hold up. You know, this went down like this, and then this is what we're doing. If they're supposed to be a Christian household and a Christian family, then I don't think it's going to be that difficult. As stated before, stay prayed up, pray in your faith, and pray with your husband. Say, hey, you know, did you know that this, and this? And I'm going to equate this, and you all may disagree with me. It's just like a lot of females that don't understand football. Oh, that's stupid. I don't understand that game. That's because you ain't never sat down and had the patience or sit with someone that could explain it to you. Uh-huh. Once you actually sit still with someone who knows how to talk, who has the education of the game, okay, and is talking to you in a meaning that you can understand, then you may actually enjoy the game. I'm not saying everybody is going to enjoy it, but I'm just saying if you do those things, the chances of you enjoying the game, you know, once you know and understand how the game is played, then I think you would like it. Same way with Christ. Same way in this whole Christmas story. The same way in you understanding Christianity and the birth of Christ. If you're the one that knows, I'm not just saying this guy is supposed to be the only one. Women, if you're the one that knows, then sit down with him. Come at him in a way that he'll understand and break it down for him. You know, sometimes you have to come several different ways. You know, so, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if there's a way to do things, but if you come at him the correct way, you know, and sit down and say, hey, did you know that this is going on? Or did you know they bought presents because he is king, and these are the presents that they bought? And that's real power. You know, little things like that. That's what will make a man honestly open his ears. If you're involved, fellas, with any kind of woman, and they sit down and say, did you know that the Cowboys are going to do this, and this with Tony Romo, and that man ain't never heard you say nothing about Tony Romo, or you don't even know who he is. He's going to stop, because he's going to be like, who you been talking to? Like, how did you know that? So I'm just saying, you know, approach it in that way, and you guys can move forward as a family.
Okay. Good deal, good deal. I like the great responses by both of you. In all fairness, I have to back the women, Mr. DJ. There's some women that know more about football than us.
That's true. That is very true.
In all fairness, women, I got your back on this one. They know. Lord, they know. You know, we might just know. We may have the physical ability to play, and they do too. But you have a lot of women. In other words, you know, y'all just making it fair on both sides. Whoever doesn't know about the reason, make sure it's your job before you even engage into this, or even entertain this thing called marriage, Miss Sharon. Make sure y'all don't want a card.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Because you don't want to have this struggle like that your whole entire life with things like Christmas, all right? Which leads us to the next email question. I'm going to start with you, Mr. DJ. We're going to hit these real quickly. It says, my struggle is very real. I believe that Christ I believe in Christ and know the reason for the season. But what am I to do when my spiritual leader in my church family preaches one thing but demonstrates something else?
It's time for you to reevaluate the two and yourself and your participation in those two. You should know what's correct. If your spiritual leader is telling you one thing and you have prayed about it and God has revealed unto you an answer, then that's what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they have to be, if your spiritual leader is not per se a member of your church, they should be on one accord if they're talking about the same purpose, which is God. So if one is different, weed out the one that is not promoting you to worship God. To me, that's very simple. If one is preaching self, all about himself or herself, then you need to leave them alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Michelle?
I would say that in that situation, to take it to God, because if you're seeing, if you are in the Word and you're reading, studying as you should, and you're following Christ, and you have that relationship with Him, and so you know better. You see what's happening outside or opposite of what's being taught. Then it's time to see about possibly making a move or see where your next step should be. See what God wants you to do in that situation. Whether it be to have a conversation with your spiritual leader, or if God says to move or go somewhere else, to be obedient and really hear what He's saying.
Mhm. Okay. I like that. Thank you so much for that. Okay, I have a text message. It says, let's go back to the scriptures, John 1:1-4. Okay, John 1:1-4. I'm going to read that right quick. Thank you for that text, too. It says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God. The Word was God Himself, continually existing in the beginning with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him not even one thing was made that has come into being. In Him life and power to bestow life, and the life was the light of men. Thank you for that. That's the deity of Christ. Got to go back to the basic roots. Thank you for that text message. Okay, somebody just, hold on. Got another text message, Ms. Shire. Ms. Candy, listen to this. Mr. DJ, listen. It says, I listened to all of the calls this week, but I do believe most of the callers on the call heard you all's message, but in reality did the Christmas thing in the wrong way. Even if it wasn't Santa, it definitely wasn't Christ that they celebrated. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do a survey, but thank you for sharing. I do believe it could possibly be the case. But in the same token, I do believe that, for those who are serious about Christ, y'all, basically what the caller is saying, it's hard to break traditions. It sounds good. We know what's good, but it's hard to break traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know that? Let me, Miss Candy, can I do this to him right quick?
Go ahead.
Do this to Miss Candy, to Mr. DJ, and off the top of your head, just real quickly, within 3 seconds, and Miss Shire, I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ. The greatest boxer ever.
Wow. Ever?
Mr. DJ didn't took 3 days. I said three.
Yeah, the greatest boxer ever, I would probably say Joe Frazier or Muhammad Ali, one of the two.
Okay. Good deal. Okay. Ms. Shireen, you, the greatest pair of shoes you ever had.
My Nike tennis.
Some old ones, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why I posed that, because I didn't want to give Miss Shireen the advantage by saying the same question. The reason why I posed that, y'all, is things like the greatest pair of shoes. You'll always go back to what you had, what you have right now. But do you understand they actually make shoes better than what you had?
That's true.
Okay. With that being said, do y'all look at sports, y'all see football, basketball? Do you not understand that, and watch this now, do you not understand that the collisions in football has come about simply because of the strength and speed of individuals, which make for more of an impact?
Mm-hmm.
Supplementation.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. DJ said Joe Frazier or Muhammad Ali. Most of us would have said Muhammad Ali. But do you not understand that the boxers today, with all due respect, it wouldn't even be a match? Y'all know this?
Yes, sir.
That's hard pressed,
mm-hmm.
right? Muhammad Ali said himself Mike Tyson would beat him. You know he would in his prime. Come on, y'all. That's not even a match. But even Mike Tyson, the boxers today, man, it's getting, you know, the antis get up, you know. The things that we do, you know, look at the creativity. Right? So what I'm saying is this, y'all. Listen to what I'm saying so that we can all be on one page and understand the reality of things. People don't like to let go of tradition. It's hard for somebody to say, oh, not Muhammad Ali, you know, Floyd Mayweather the best. People wouldn't say that right now. Maybe 30, 40 years from now, they might say that Floyd was better.
Right.
Right.
Because you have another generation. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if that about people, athletics, and things, shoes, whatever it may be, you know we do that about Christmas. We don't want to let it go because we have sentimental value with that. Grandmama, granddaddy, great-grandmama, great-granddaddy, and what they say is our gospel, not what the Bible says. Come on. Ms. Shira, I heard it today. I think somebody said something about, if you say something and you sneeze, that must mean it's true. Who said that? Some old folks said that. Don't drop the phone, Ms. LaTanya. I ain't between you. But y'all see what I'm saying? Because we
right.
associate that with old folk and we have respect for our elders, we don't want to let it go. But who's the elder? The old folks or God? Who's the elder in your life? I do believe that God still got to judge the elders that you physically see. So we give God a consolation prize of church, but not the real prize of totally submitting to him. That text that person sent was simply saying, yeah, people hear it, but do they really do it? So we give God a consolation prize and say, I'm going to give of you by going, but I'm going to still celebrate my tradition because much like I love them old pair of shoes and that Muhammad Ali, remember the Bible says the tradition of man nullifies the power of God. You can't even
right.
get better because you stuck on past stuff.
That's right.
And because your mama
right.
celebrated that way, your daddy celebrated that way, and you better not talk about my grandmama, Mr. Carr, because I come through this phone. I ain't. You know what time it is, though, right? Because those traditions have been handed down from them to us. Now, when is it going to stop? It's my question.
Mr. Carr, you really opened my eyes. You touched on something because we were sitting around yesterday talking about our best Christmas. Everybody went around and talked about what's the best Christmas, and everybody reverted back to childhood, just about. Not all of us, but everybody pretty much reverted back to childhood. And some people would say, some adults would say, the innocence of being a child and not knowing, and you're receiving. But the true best is when you don't have to struggle, when you're an adult and you know better and realize the true meaning to actually give.
Uh-huh.
You know, to be able to afford to give,
uh-huh.
you know, and not expect anything in return. I'm just saying, it's like what you're talking about all the time about spiritual milk. You
yeah.
know, when you're young, you know, you that's you know, the chicken McNugget is the greatest meal on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know nothing else but chicken McNuggets and McDonald's fries. That's the great. You can't get nothing better than that to a child.
Right.
But as we get older and you start learning about Benihana's and Z's and Melting Pot and even Applebee's and TGI, just steak and other foods, then you start supposed to realize
gotcha.
Better and do better.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And there's no pun to McDonald's to anybody. Please don't send me hateful messages about that. I like McDonald's. McDonald's is fine.
Hey, Ms. Sharon, I hadn't grown up yet because I don't know Benihana's. I want me some steak and shrimp, too, again. But I know. But thank you for that, Mr. DJ. All right, here we go. Let's go to our email, to our callers' questions if we have any, Ms. Candy. Y'all press star 5 if you have a quick question for Mr. DJ and Ms. Sharon, and we're going to let them answer right away.
Mr. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
Before we move forward, one thing I wanted to add about the caller's question is something that we've been talking about a lot, and it's just in the way that it was worded to reflect on what other people were doing. But we have to be careful and make sure that we're reflecting on what it is that we're doing. We might have gotten it a little quicker than somebody else, but let's be honest. Most of us don't get things the first time we heard it. When we're having these messages about the pure celebration in Christ, for someone on the line, that was the very first time they heard it. And remember, what happened the first time you heard something? Did you say, wow, I didn't know that, and immediately went to do what was right? Or did maybe you tiptoe back over to the other side? We've all been in that situation. So along with the thought that maybe some people did continue on as they traditionally do, where is that grace and mercy? Where is that love for the person that we want to extend it for us when we too had to hear something more than once? But more than anything else from all of it, we have to remember to be self-reflective and not to the point to where we're throwing stones at other people.
Okay. There it is. No stone throw.
We do have a caller, sir.
Yeah.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, my question is, how can you discover your spiritual gifts?
Okay, straight to the point. Straight to the point. Ms. Sharon, I'm going to start with you. How is it that you can discover your spiritual gifts?
How can you discover your spiritual gifts? By seeking God, by reading His Word, by being obedient and listening to Him, because we have a lot. We have a lot of gifts. We have a lot of gifts. We have a lot of talents. We can find exactly what they are when we seek Him.
Mm-hmm. Mr. DJ, what about you? Okay.
It is the one gift that you have that can promote God, enhance God, and bless others with, whether you are paid or not, that you enjoy doing. And it is from God, of God, by God. That's the one gift that you know that's your spiritual gift.
There it is. Paid or not. Paid or not. Spiritual gift. Seek God. When you seek God, He's going to reveal to you. When you say seek God, what is it that you mean? Ms. Sharon, I don't want to be vague with them. What do you mean when you say seek God? Because we hear it all the time, but what you mean?
To really just ask Him a question and just listen to, talk to Him, just like we're talking on the phone. That's a part of, you know, what prayer and communication is. It just be natural. I have natural conversations with Him, and I have to be obedient to listen because, you know, you have to be able to hear Him when He's speaking. He may be speaking, you know, through someone. He may be speaking through a phone. He may be speaking to us, and that's still a small voice that, you know, we are told that we have to listen for. So when I say seek, it literally just means to have that conversation, just to ask Him, and He'll show us, whether it be in His Word or, as I said, just by way of someone or, you know, music, whatever. But He'll answer us when we ask.
Okay. There it is. Carla, did that help you out?
Yes, it did.
Okay, and keep in mind, you said, how do you seek or how do you find, discover your spiritual gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
key word is spiritual. That means flesh can't discover what's spiritual.
Amen.
So in order for you to discover your spiritual gifts, you have to get in the spirit. In other words, let me simplify this for everybody. In other words, when you're trying to seek what God has for you, not only do you seek him, not only do you do what Mr. DJ said as well, you know what I'm saying, are you pressed for the money or are you pressed to please God? You know, when you're seeking, trying to discover your spiritual gifts, take your hands out of it. I'm talking about, see, naturally, we can naturally do some things. Bless people, build some things, tear some things down, help assist people. See, that's all you. Spiritual gifts is going to come by way of when your flesh don't want them. But the spirit man said do it anyway. In other words, it will dumbfound your flesh as to why you're doing it. Lord, child, I ain't going to preach tonight, though. It's going to dumbfound your flesh. In other words, that very person that you don't like, but your spirit man said do it. Your flesh said, but I can't stand them. Your spirit man saying forgive them. Your flesh said, I don't like them. I don't know them. They don't know me. They didn't talk about me. Your spirit man said, move on it. And see, you move on it. Now you're discovering your spiritual gifts because, see, you have the gift of forgiving, and that gift is going to actually lift God up so much, they're going to be dumbfounded. Their flesh is going to be dumbfounded, and it's going to stir that spirit man up just like it stirred yours up. Spirit and flesh don't mix. What's going to happen is when you're discovering your spiritual gifts, your flesh is going to try and block it. Y'all don't want to hear the truth. Your flesh will always try to block what God has for you. God has everything for you in the spiritual. What he has given you in the flesh would never amount to what he has for you in the spiritual realm. That's just a little teaser, an appetizer. And the only reason why he gave you that little appetizer is to get your attention, because much like, you know, a mousetrap, he got to bait us in somehow, some way. God is not like man. See, we say if they don't like me and they don't know me, oh, well, forget them. God said, no, I still want to meet them where they are, so I'll put something in your flesh just so you'll see that I'm real. But that's not how I want you. I don't want you to land in the flesh. I want you to land in the spirit. Because if you start serving me in the flesh, see, what's going to be, that's going to be equated to is when the flesh don't get what it want, then you're going to bail out on me. Because, see, so many people have abandoned their spiritual gifts, even with the discovery of them, simply because it seemed to have been going right, but then something just went awry in the flesh. But the spiritual gifts has everything to do with what you don't see. Huh? Don't y'all know that loyalty is a spiritual gift? That means in spite of what I'm going through, I'm still loyal to God. Huh? Don't you know that forgiveness is a spiritual gift? That means when my flesh say don't, my spirit man say yes, do it. Do you not understand that? You will discover your spiritual gifts as soon as you purge your flesh. Because if you think you're going to discover your spiritual gifts by giving way to your flesh, listen, let me tell you something. People that can't see, people that can't hear, boy, they be discovering all kinds of spiritual gifts because it's everything what they can't do in the flesh, so something else got to grow.
That's right.
Okay. All right, Carla, did that help?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, good deal. All righty. So is that everybody, Miss Candy?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Mr. DJ, we really, truly appreciate you. Miss Shiren, we appreciate you. Y'all both did an excellent job, and I do hope that everybody learned from this past week as we, you know, just summarize this whole week. You know, it's talking about let it snow, the purity, the pure celebration of Christ. A pure celebration of Christ. Make sure that you celebrate Christ the way that he wants to be celebrated. You know, just like on your pastor's anniversary, you don't know if that church was open that day. They just set that day aside. And that's up. But if I'm not mistaken, for anniversary, don't pastor and his wife just sit up there and chill? Pastor don't even preach that day, do he?
Nope.
Y'all see where I'm going with that? Now, what if you went to that church, and because it was your tradition, and you started giving everybody else gifts but pastor? The one who built the church, the one who gave you wisdom, gave you direction, gave you the sensibility to want to pursue God. Now you bring everybody up here. And you get mad at pastor and say, but pastor, don't be like that to me. I thought it was all about celebrating people as well. Did you give him a gift? And if you gave him a gift, did you give him what he wanted? Because he told you what you wanted, what he wanted. I'm sorry, or she told you what she wanted. Look at that the same way now. So a pastor can have, and sometimes pastors have anniversaries twice a year, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Y'all know I ain't lying. It's not knocking nobody. What I'm saying is to get us to understand. Look at this. Merry Christmas. Let it snow. A pure celebration of Christ. His anniversary. That's something we should be doing every day. But even if we miss it, like Miss Candace say, on the first go-round. Okay, shoot. You got one day a year. How you want to do this? Now, hopefully that catches up. And we pick up to 2, 3, 4 days. And over the years, we just celebrate him every day. Okay? I am of this proponent. I'm serious. A lot of people think that Halloween is the most detrimental day. Let me tell you something. Y'all want to know the truth? I think that Christmas is. And the reason why I say that is it's one thing for, you know, an adversary to create something on their own or of their own. It's another thing for somebody to disrespect mine.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
It's one thing for Satan to do Halloween and the goons and goblins, but it's another thing, Lord have mercy, for you to come over here on my day, bamboozle the people that I created. Disrespect my life. Make sense, y'all?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. So, a pure celebration. Let's go ahead and close it with prayer, Mr. DJ, please.
Yes, everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes, open up your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on humble knees, and we come to you, Father, to say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for allowing us to discuss your word, to talk about the true meaning for the reason for the season, Father, to continue to grow, to help one another, Father, to keep us on this path, to help us from straying too far. We come to you, Father, and say, please, Jesus, keep us on this path and allow us to be able to reach out to someone else and to let them see that you are the way, the truth, and the light. Father, grant us traveling grace and mercy and bring us back together at the appointed time to get together in your name again. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. And make sure if y'all can, please check us out on Wednesday for Bible study. I do encourage you to invite a friend. Okay? These be some very interesting, deep calls. Don't ever fall out of love with God because it's something, even if you're on a call for 5 minutes, I'm serious, call in. It's something that may help you out throughout the week, throughout the rest of your life. You never know. Y'all have a great night. Enjoy the rest of the holiday season, but make sure you enjoy it and celebrate it the right way, the pure way, the Christian way. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.